Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hot Take Tuesday. We've got several hot takes to go over. Hopefully, we'll get to all of them. We did not get to all of them last week. If you want to participate, email us at bastardsofboston@gmail.com, and we will read them on the show. Charlie Smith back with me for this episode. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Super thankful to be back on here. It's good to catch up with you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Last episode was fun with Emma Houghton, so nice bench spot coming off the bench. That was fun.
Absolutely.
So let's get into it. Let's literally start off hot. Here we go. Grumpy D Flight on Twitter says, Will Middlebrooks starts a relationship with Garen Austin.
I don't know. Cause last time I checked, Will Middlebrooks was happily married to the unicorn that is Jenny Dell. And they have two kids, if I'm not mistaken. So that's just not going to happen. And you're not going to cheat on Jenny Dell with Garen Austin. So that's just stupid. That's just not going to happen.
Apparently, you know, there's been a long history of it. Like we've said, Hazel May, there were rumors possibly with a Boston playoff legend, to not name names. Guy who hits a lot of home runs in the month of October. So there were rumors there. Heidi Watney, there were rumors with a certain Red Sox catcher, we will say. And then, of course, Middlebrooks ends up marrying Jenny Dell. John Farrell was in a relationship with, is it Jessica Moran? Katie Moran? Something like that.
One of those names. Yeah.
Yeah, from NBC Sports Boston. So maybe that's why we're seeing dude reporters now. You know, Jemai Webster, Gary Streisky was part of the crew for a while. So I think I agree with you. I think Will is probably happy with his present wife, who he has two kids with, and things seem to be going pretty well.
Yeah, good for them.
Good for them. So here's a fun one. Matt on Twitter says, Venable and Cora start co-managing when one of them needs a rest day. And Cora is off to his daughter's graduation right now. So Venable was managing the last game or two, would have managed today. And, of course, he's poking fun at Alex Cora's resting strategy, aggressively resting players. JD Martinez was not in today's lineup before the postponement of the game. Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that, but I will say that prior to that, I was a little bit confused as to why certain pitchers were starting in certain innings, not the beginning of the inning, but the middle of the inning with one out or two outs. And I will admit that when I saw Ottavino in there with the bases loaded, one out, and Darwin's and Hernandez warming up, I said, oh my God, Darwin's and Hernandez is warming up. There's no one to put his free batter. So what the hell are we going to do? So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly frustrating, that's for sure.
Yeah. And with JD, though, that meant he would have had today off. He would have had Thursday off because that was an off day. He would have had Monday off because that was an off day. And then last Sunday off. So apparently JD's too tired to he needs four rest days in a week, apparently. So,
it's goofy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Our good buddy Zach Tabak says, I'm worried with Marwin and even more impatient with Dahlbeck. Now, we did cover this on the last show. Those are two guys that need to get their act together.
These are two guys that probably won't be playing in Boston much longer.
Do you think Dahlbeck, is he in a trade package this summer, or am I jumping the gun with that?
You know, we've jumped the gun on a lot of trades in the past, and we've gotten rid of players that have ended up turning it around. You know, I think of a certain reliever that left Boston that has completely dominated it in his career since leaving Boston. I'm not talking about Craig Kimbrell. I'm talking about Mark Melanson, who has completely revitalized his career. And we gave up on him, and that was that. And then we, you know, we had the Joel Hanrahan, we had Mark Melanson, we had Andrew Bailey, and they just kept striking out when they came to Boston. It was like their kryptonite, pitching in a city that mattered. They just couldn't do it. Moving from Pittsburgh to Boston, you'd think would be a huge upgrade. Ended up being a scary downgrade three times. So that was brutal. I don't know, man. I mean, Dahlbeck right now is not helping his value right now. But, I mean, Yoan Moncada was someone that got traded in the package deal with Michael Kopech and a couple other players to get Chris Sale over here. So if there's a team willing to take that boom or bust possible, like, Adam Dunn-esque power, yeah, I see him in a package deal, and I'm okay leaving him.
Yeah, I am as well. So we'll see what happens. As we said in the last show, we spent quite a bit of time dumping on Dahlbeck 24 hours ago. So we'll see what happens. But I think he's a lot more short term than anything. And Marwin as well, which we also got into. Let's see. Here's a good one. Devers is a future DH and does more damage than good at third base currently, says Sox Nation Northwest. So I
understand where you're coming from, because when Devers has bad games, he usually has them, and he is like, it's not just one error, it's sometimes two. And I think in a couple of rare occurrences, he's had three errors in a game. So it doesn't make me happy, but I'll say this much. He has committed 9 errors as opposed to 14 in 2020. In 2019, he committed a total of 22 errors. His fielding percentage was about the same. It was a little better in 2019, but it's the fielding percentage he has this year is the second best ever, and that's in 5 years. So not a large sample size, but if he can kind of turn it around and get better, maybe he could become like a premier third baseman. If he wants to make more money, he will do so as a third baseman. He will not make as much as a DH. He just won't.
That's an excellent point. If JD Martinez opts out, and I strongly feel that he will, that would open up the DH spot for Devers. And you would have potentially Casas at first. If I'm wrong about Dahlbeck in the previous question, he doesn't get traded, he would probably be your third baseman in that scenario. So, and you also have to wonder, too, How long is Bogaerts going to be a shortstop before they slide him over to third? So many moving parts in this scenario.
Yeah, that's another question that remains to be determined, because you're absolutely right. There are a lot of moving parts, but does Xander Bogaerts want the flexibility of still maintaining his spot as the main shortstop? Because again, if you move from short to third or short to second, you lose a little bit of value if you go to third. You lose an immense amount of value if you go to second base. Because Xander Bogaerts it's not like Robinson Cano power at second base. And it's not like Craig Biggio speed at second base, where he could steal, he could get on base and do everything. Yes, he would be the best second baseman in baseball if he was there. At third base, he would be a top two, top three option at third base. At short, he's currently the second best shortstop in baseball.
Well, he is offensively, but not defensively. So I think that's where the question lies.
But Fernando Tatis is someone that I think is a better shortstop. He's a terrible fielder. Yeah, he's awful.
I know. We're going into that.
Yeah.
In the last episode as well. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that bad. I don't watch a ton of Padres games, but
he's bad. He's bad, bad, bad.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Machado's pretty good, so you figure they would work on that together, but apparently not. Let's see. Next one on the docket. Let's go with the big man on Twitter. That's what he calls himself, the big man. That could mean a lot of things. Everybody crying about the unwritten rules all the time because it's trendy is so annoying. Yes, there are situations where they suck, but they aren't all bad. I asked him a follow-up question. I said, well, elaborate on two or three of them. And he goes, showboating after a bomb at the pitcher's expense, you should then expect to be plunked after. He goes, another rule which is good is not bunting to break up a no-hitter. That's going to produce a negative experience for the fans when someone does that. So he's not big on the bat flips and everything, but he thinks you should respect no-hitters as far as bunting. So that's as far as he went with it. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on showboating and bat flips?
You know what? Here's the thing. It's frustrating when you see hitters do that to pitchers when they haven't really earned that right. But here's the thing. If you pimp a home run, okay, cool. Guess what? If you don't get another home run the next at bat, I hope the pitcher sticks it to you. I hope they strike you out on like some disgusting stuff. And I hope he gesticulates and starts pointing and jawing and like, yeah, because what's he going to throw? He can't throw his glove in the air. He's got to pretend to be somewhat professional. If you want to showboat, sure. Am I a huge fan of it? Not really, because you didn't see some of the players on the Red Sox doing that. You might see them kind of take like a little bit of a like an extra long peek, but that's about it. Like you didn't see these stupid Jose Bautista bat flips that go 45 feet into the air. They made the bat may never come down. I thought that's stupid. But I mean, as far as like unwritten rules, that's. Dude, if you're going to throw a pitch that's 3-0 over the plate and you're up by 8 runs and you give me that pitch, I'm swinging at that pitch. Because there was a game that I remember in the 90s. The Cleveland Indians were losing 12-0 or something. And they came back. And then they won. Could you imagine telling your team, yeah, it's a 3-0 pitch, don't swing. We're already up by 12. And then you lose? You idiots. Unwritten rules don't always necessarily apply. If you're dumb enough to get that pitch, you deserve to have it get cracked out of the ballpark. Sorry.
Yeah, that 3-0 scenario was the with the Chicago White Sox when La Russa instructed your mean Mercedes not to swing. He did swing. It ended up being a home run. I don't have a problem with that either. I'm not a big fan of the bat flips and showboating because
I don't like it.
We're already seeing like the bat toss not being good enough anymore. Now they got to do a funky little dance after the bat toss. And what's next? How far do you want to take this? And right. who are you hitting these home runs off of? Is it Max Scherzer or is it the mop-up guy in the sixth inning of a game you're destroying the other team and you're facing their Austin Bryce? Like, I kind of like the old school on that one, but we'll see. It's an evolving game. I will say this. It does seem to be popular with the fans, with the younger crowd. So if I have to take one for the team, okay, fine. All right. Do your bat flips or whatever.
Maybe we're too old. I don't know.
Well, you're barely into your 30s. All right. So how do you pronounce this guy's name? Gronigan, or maybe it's Gronigan on Twitter, says, "I love it every time the Yankees lose." They did a lot of it this weekend to a last place team. Got swept by a last place team.
I never thought in a million years that I would say that the Red Sox would be where they are right now. And while they're not in first place or just a game out of first, I didn't think that the Yankees would be 3.5 games behind the Red Sox at any point this year. I was not as hopeful. I said they were going to win just over 70 games. That was my final prediction of 71. The Red Sox aren't quite at the halfway mark, but they've won a lot more games than I thought they were going to win at this point in the season. The Yankees just can't seem to get it together. They've lost 3 in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They're not Baltimore bad. Baltimore's lost 13 straight. But it's weird because, you know, I kind of want the Yankees to win. I want the Yankees to do well. I want the Red Sox to do well so that at least we can try to pretend we're almost as good as the San Diego-LA rivalry. But they're just, I mean, you just got swept. You just, dude, you got swept by the Tigers. That's bad. That's really freaking bad. You've lost 5 of the last 6. That's beyond bad.
Gerrit Cole started a game in that series and they still lost. Only gave up one run. I think that bullpen's looking a little mortal. Giancarlo Stanton came back. I don't have his numbers up from the series, but it must not have been great for him. Aaron Judge struck out looking today with the bases loaded. That's how the game ended. Because when he came up to the plate, they were down by 4 runs. It was 6-2. And I thought, oh, great. Judge is about to tie it. Strikes out looking. And Luke Voit back on the DL. Greg Bird 2.0, apparently. He's on the Greg Bird program. Never going to be healthy. So here's a question. Does Aaron Boone last the rest of the season or does he get fired?
I think for Aaron Boone, I don't know if the Yankees would do something dirty like get rid of him during the season. I don't see him coming back in 2022. I just don't see it happening. And unless the Yankees lose like 10 in a row, he's not going to get canned during the season. The only way he gets canned during the season is if they just want to try to pretend like it was Aaron Boone's fault that the Yankees just can't stay healthy. That Brian Cashman was the one that said, yes, I will take on the albatross contract of Giancarlo Stanton, who we knew was not going to opt out. I mean, just it's stupid. He's doomed this team to failure for just way too long. There's too many contracts that are dead on the books. I mean, Aaron Hicks, dude, is he ever going to be healthy again? Giancarlo Stanton, he's one sneeze away from being back on the DL. Come on.
Hicks is, I think, officially out for the season now. They don't expect him to come back. And what's their rotation at this point?
Have we received any word on Corey Kluber? Like, I don't know if he's coming back.
8 weeks minimum he'll be out.
Yeah. And how old is he?
35.
Too old.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely. And I mean, so you'll have Severino coming back. So maybe that offers a little bit of hope. to Yankees fans, but is he going to be healthy?
Only a little.
Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be the borderline ace he was in 2017 and in the first half of 2018? It's just, it's tough to pave a path for them getting into the month of October. I just don't think they're going to be playing playoff baseball. And if Boone doesn't get fired, he's going to get his walking papers probably the first week of October. They will move on from him. How hot?
Yeah, no question.
How hot is Brian Cashman's seat getting? Because these contracts are terrible, like we just pointed out. There's no depth anywhere in this organization.
I agree. And I think that our friend Brian Cashman, not really our friend, but I mean, he's been a friend of Boston the past couple of years because he's certainly not helping New York. He's helping the Red Sox look better than they really are just because the contracts he's dishing out are just stupid. They're just dumb because the Red Sox are dishing out dumb money, like dumb contracts. I'll say that. The Yankees are dishing out dumb contracts with dumb money attached.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and how good will Gerrit Cole be for the duration of his contract? 4 years, pretty good. 1 year, whatever. And 2 years, a suck.
That's a great question. I think he turns
a lot of miles.
32 this year, and you got to figure he's got at least two or three more good years. But
it's a lot of dead money.
How long is it going to take for them to be good again?
Terry, you might have kids by then.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I'm not going to – I could say a really funny joke, but half the audience will laugh their ass off. The other half probably won't listen again. But anyway.
But you love your pet. You love your pet. You know, yeah, that's your kid.
Oh, I got dogs. Yeah, I'm a big
there
dog.
There you go. Oh, so you go.
Rescue dogs, too. Not. I don't go to breeders. Like, I there rescue dogs who need homes. But
there you go.
But, yeah, I just – the seat for Cashman, eventually Hal Steinbrenner has to come to the conclusion, my guy's pretty dumb compared to a lot of these other guys around, especially in the division.
And it's going to be a situation where I think it's going to be out of respect. It's going to be the whole thank you, then do the welcome wagon. Like, it's been a pleasure having you as the GM. You either admit and publicly announce that this is your last season, or we will fire you. And that'll be the end of it. You can do whatever you want. You've already had a weird off, like, out of baseball life with the situation regarding your wife and this mistress business. Like, it's just kind of weird. But, I mean, this is the thing. The Yankees haven't been relevant in decades. Like, decades. They bought one World Series title in the last 21 years. They've been irrelevant.
And they had a 3 or 4 year window where they could have won a championship, and they
I agree.
They squandered it. They absolutely
squandered it.
Yeah, I've never seen a team not fundamentally understand what a starting rotation should look like.
Right.
And the Yankees botched that all the time. So.
Yep.
I think that about covers it. It was a little bit shorter of a show than normal, but. We will be back on Thursday, like I said, with Job and Andrew to discuss what went down in the Houston Astros series. So we will be back with you Thursday night, Friday morning. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.